And here it is. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Two Dimension, the podcast with no direction. If you like Jack Kirby, or Rick Remender, if you love the Hernandez brothers, Brian Michael Bendis, then this show, my friend, might be for you. Or it might not. You might think it sucks, or you might love it. So thank you for giving us a shot. All right. I'm your host, Dallas Busha. This is our very first episode recorded from the comfort of my house. I had a delicious Bud Light with lime in my hand, just chilling on my couch. I'm ready to do this thing. So, alright, I'm flying solo today, but I'd like to introduce you to our cast nonetheless. They'll be joining us in the next episode, and you can get to know them all then. Drum roll, please. Alright. First up is our resident angry Irishman, The Rook. He's quite fond of classic Ghost Rider, he likes The Boys and Garth Ennis. He's currently an avid DC collector, and he once beat Galactus in an arm wrestling match. Rook and I have been friends for, God, most of our lives, I guess. We got into comics together around the same time. We grew up reading mostly the same stuff. I kind of cut my teeth on the old Uncanny X-Men, a lot of Chris Claremont stuff. I think one of the first books I ever picked up was a Dave Cockrum penciled issue, number 97, I think. So, and Ron was, the Rook was reading stuff around the same time, around the same kind of books. And as we grew up, we were reading very similar stuff. So we have similar taste, similar aesthetic. We're going to have some fantastic stories. I'm going to save all the juicy drama, though, for when he's actually here. Because I wouldn't want to ruin it, because then you wouldn't really have any reason to come back. Just don't say I didn't warn you. All right, next up, it's the group's heart and soul, Big Don Moore. Now, Don's knowledge of comics is huge, and I mean huge. It's spanning decades of comics. He's a big Walt Simonson fan, as I'm sure you're going to find out, but he loves everything. Little Nemo, you know, from the Golden Age to the Modern Age, really. And he's our resident brainiac, and he's a good storyteller. You're going to have a lot of fun with this guy. And speaking of brainiacs, another member of the show, Al Val, is similar to Don. He's been reading comics for a long time. He's got a lot of knowledge about the industry, the medium. You know, he's a big EC and Warren fan. And later in this show, you're going to hear a review from Al that he pre-recorded, and it's actually about some old horror anthologies. So you're going to enjoy it, so you can stick around for that. And last, and possibly least, is our good friend, Silent Bill. You may never hear him on the show. You may never hear his voice, but don't worry, he's there. Silent Bill is always here. Now, we're going to be introducing a section. It's called Silent Bill's Moment of Silence. We'll be narrating his thoughts on the current industry or just talking about a book he really likes. Silent Bill may be posting on the blog updates about new stuff. You'll laugh. You're going to cry. You'll learn to love Silent Bill. You'll never hear him, but you'll love him. He's always there. And all right, back to Funny Books. Now, one of the projects that we're planning on doing, every month or two, or whenever, you know, we get around to it, we're going to be doing a group reading. So what is this, you might ask? Well, we're all going to be reading the same book. It'll usually be a graphic novel, a collected edition, maybe an essential book, you know, just something like that. Then we're going to get together, we're going to set aside an episode to just talk about it. We're going to say why we liked it, why we hated it, just kind of break it down, the aesthetic standpoint, how the book was put together, the history of the book, the writer, the artist, the anchor, the letterer, you know, just as much as we can get in there. And it's going to be passionate, it's going to be fun, and we're probably going to get in a huge brutal fight all about it. And podcasting. I just wanted to say a little bit about podcasting. Now, all of us have some knowledge of podcasting. We've never really been professional podcasters before. I myself have the bunch of dorks, the BOD, to thank for my foray into podcasting. The bunch of dorks is a group of fellows that I fell into probably about 5-6 years ago. Really good friends. They have a fantastic podcast you can find at bunchofdorks.com. Or you can find them on iTunes as well. You should definitely listen to it. I've been on their show a number of times. We always have a blast. It's really random, almost stream of consciousness kind of stuff. You know, just whatever floats. We talk about everything. really fun. So check those guys out. Don and I actually were introduced around the same time to the Bunch of Dorks. And we started to get into podcasts at the same time. We started to listen to any podcast we can get our hands on. We were listening, you know, to comic book podcasts, soccer podcasts, beer podcast, baseball podcast, whatever we could get our hands on, you know, we probably listened to it. So hopefully that's kind of going to translate into our presentation here on the show. But we do need you guys to let us know. We're going to need some feedback, what we can do better, what you did like about us. So whenever you have a chance, once you listen to the show, just drop back on the blog, start a thread, continue a thread, just jump on that forum and, you know, write to your heart's content. Let us know what you think of us. You know, if you hate us, if we suck, let us know. You know, we can take the criticism. If you like us, please, please let us know that too. All right. Well, that being said, what I want to do is turn over to Al Val here, one of our podcasters. This is a pre-recorded review, and we hope you like it. So if you drink, grab a drink, and sit back on the couch here and listen to the soothing voice of Al Val.
Okay, I'm going to be reviewing Creepy Archives Volume 9, published by Dark Horse. This is reprinting Creepy, Issue 42 through 45. Okay, history of Creepy Magazine. Creepy was published by Warren Publications. James Warren, the publisher, was a publisher of Famous Monsters, Monster World, Spaceman, and other movie magazines in the 50s and 60s. He was also a fan of the EC Comics of the 50s. In late 64, he published Creepy, horror, comic anthology, black and white, as a magazine to avoid the Comics Code authority. The Comics Code, established in 55 to clean up comics, had basically demolished EC Comics and all the other horror comic publishers of the 50s. In comics, you couldn't use vampires, zombies, ghouls, etc. as characters anymore. You also couldn't show blood or horrific details, nor could you use the words horror or terror in the titles. So by publishing Creepy in magazine format, he basically sidestepped the code. Plus, he had been publishing, you know, Famous Monsters and all those magazines for a while. So he knew the distribution system, and he knew he could do whatever he wanted with Creepy, basically, and get away with it. The first issue of Creepy, which came out, again, in 64, had a great lineup of artists. All of them pretty much were from the EC line of comics. Reed Crandall, Jack Davis, Gray Morrow, Frank Frazetta, Angelo Torres, Al Williamson, Joe Orlando. All great artists. The first issue was edited by Russ Jones, but by the second issue, Archie Goodwin was listed as a story editor. Goodwin wrote most of the stories from 65 to 67, which is the best era for the Warren Comics line. Creepy and Eerie, which came out about a year later after Creepy, was a success. After a while, more artists started to come to the Warren line. Steve Ditko, Neil Adams, Wally Wood, Alex Toth, John Severin, Gene Colan, Gil Kane. By the end of 67, though, Goodwin and all the artists left due to money problems that Warren was having. So that forced him to cut the page rates. Plus, for the next couple of years, more than half the books, Creepy and Eerie, were reprints of the earlier issues. And the new stories weren't really as good, let's say. The exceptions being, you know, Tom Sutton was doing some nice stuff, Ernie Colone, Frank Bull, and Jerry Granadetti was doing some nice stuff too. From 69 to 73, Warren began to rebuild its line with Vampirella number 1, which was a big success. After that, some of the old artists began to come back, Neil Adams, Reed Crandall, and they started using new artists, up-and-coming artists like Mike Plug, Rich Corbin, Dave Cockrum, Jeff Jones, Bernie Wrightson, Frank Brunner, Boris Vallejo, Ken Kelly, among others. Warren also spawned a lot of competitors around this time. Skywald, another company, began publishing a similar line of books by the name that went under the title Psycho, Nightmare, and Scream. Also, Marvel began publishing a black and white line of comics. Dracula Lives, Vampire Tales, Monsters Unleashed. They also had Monsters of the Movies, kind of a famous monsters type of deal. By 71, Warren had begun to use Spanish artists from SI Studios in Spain, as well as bringing in the newer artists of that era. The Spanish artists, Esteban Morodo, Manuel San Julián, Jairo Bercal, Jose Bea, Felix Mas, were fine artists, actually better than some of the guys that had been working during the dark period. Not to mention they drew beautiful women. And this is where we're going to start talking about Creepy Archives Volume 9. This reprints Creepy issues 42 through 45 from late 71 to mid 72. Creepy 42 starts with a beautiful cover by San Julián. Warren magazines were always known for their great covers, and this is no exception. There's a sorceress on the cover who's basically topless. Looks like an attempt was made to cover that up, but they didn't really do a good job, so she's basically topless on it. No problem there. This issue has a very early story by Dave Cockrum, who later went on to co-create the new X-Men. Also has an early story by Joe Staton, who later went on to do E-Man, Huntress, Green Lantern, and still is working for DC. Jerry Granadetti also has a story, Escape from Nowhere World. Granadetti was a Golden Age artist who worked with Will Eisner, penciling some later spirit stories, as well as he created a character called Dr. Drew. His style is kind of expressionistic. At the time, I gotta admit that I didn't like it, but now I really do, and I think it's really good, and it fits into the format of the magazine well. Warren began bringing in some underground artists, too. Larry Todd has a story in this, and Richard Corbin got his start in Warren magazines, and he'll be in the next issue as well, which is issue 43. Issue 43 has an early Ken Kelly cover. Now, Kelly was actually the nephew of Frank Frazetta and actually got painting lessons from Frazetta. Lucky guy, you know. So, pretty nice cover. The highlight of this issue is a story called The Men Who Called Him Monster. It's by Don McGregor, again, who later on went to do some work for Marvel and created Saber. It's also got some great art by Luis Garcia, another Spanish artist. The lead character is actually modeled after actor Sidney Poitier, and the story features the first interracial kiss in comic book history. My favorite story in the book is Mark of Satan's Claw. It's got a great twist ending by Fred Ott and beautiful art by Jaime Brocal. Creepy 44 has another great cover by Vincent Segrelles. And by this issue, the price had gone up from, I think, 40 cents to 75 cents. But the page count went up from 48 to 72 pages, so you get more stuff. Writer John Strenad, who started his comic career in Warren but actually had done some underground work with Richard Corbin, has a cool story like a phone booth, Long and Narrow, with Jose Bea. Another standout is The Ultimate High by Steve Skates and Martin Salvador. Salvador, another Spanish artist, is a favorite of mine. Great draftsman. I guess you could compare his style a little bit to Gray Morrow. But he worked for Warren from the early 70s, I should say, all the way till the end, around 83. Had stuff in every issue, pretty much. Tom Sutton has a story, Something to Remember Me By, in it, which is another cool story. And Sutton, to me, is one of the comic book unsung heroes. He was always changing his style, experimenting with different mediums, always kind of tailoring his style to the whatever story he was working on. He later went on to do a lot of work with Charlton, and his work got even more experimental. Mike Plug has a cool story called Sleep. Again, very early Plug. Plug would later, Will Eisner, would later move to work with Marvel. He worked on The Frankenstein Monster, Werewolf by Night, and Planet of the Apes. Tom Sutton also worked on Planet of the Apes, doing some of his best work on that. Creepy 45 has an early Frank Brunner story called What Rough Beast, also written by Strenad. Brenner started in the fanzines in the early 70s, along with Wrightson, Jeff Jones, Mike Kaluta, and others. This story is a pretty cool story, actually. And, of course, Brenner would later move on to Marvel and help co-create Howard the Duck and do some great Doctor Strange stories. Tom Sutton returns again in a neat story called And Horror Crawls from Out the Sea. It's kind of a jellyfish blob, mutant blob type of story. It's got some nice good girl art from Sutton. Another good story is The Picture of Death from Jose Bea, about a guy traveling through Scotland who stays in the room with a weird painting, which somehow or another people keep disappearing into the painting. Cool stuff, actually. The wonderful cover is by Enrique Torres, who actually did a lot of painting from Vampirella. He did 54 covers for Vampirella. That's almost half the run. Another story, Targos by Jack Katz, is an interesting medieval story about a warrior who's in love with a goddess and goes to recover an amulet for her. Katz went on to do The First Kingdom, an independent comic, actually in an early graphic novel as well. All said, Creepy Archives number 9 is a very nice book. It's pricey, $49, but for a fan, it's a really good deal, actually. The repro's beautiful, the color covers are great, and you are getting 250 pages of great art and story. For someone new interested in the war and magazines, I would recommend going and getting the Creepy Archives number 1, which is the best stuff, basically, and then working your way up. But for the fans of Warren, this is a must-have and well worth the price. And that's my review of Creepy Archives Volume 9.
All right. And, that's about it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed it. Once again, leave us some feedback. Let us know what you think. Now, keep checking back with us. We're going to have the next episode up in just a couple of weeks, probably by the end of July. By then, the entire crew is going to be here, all the guys that I introduced you to earlier, and the dynamic, obviously, is really going to change. It's going to jump up. It's going to be really fun, you know, a lot of kinetic energy around here. So stay tuned for that. Keep checking back with us, and until then, take care, be safe, and read more comics.